Well, today, certainly Mother's Day, it's a day for honoring, remembering our moms, and you just cannot uphold that office, that assignment, high enough. Now, I'm fully aware that on Mother's Day, people come in, we're not all on the same playing field. We're not on an emotionally level playing field. People come to Mother's Day, various perspectives, but I think it's important to cheerlead, and that's what I want to do today. I want to really cheerlead our moms. What you do is massively important. It's a hard assignment. It's massively important, and you need to be applauded. I know a little something about cheerleading because I'm married to one. My wife Martha was a cheerleader in middle school. She was a cheerleader in high school. She was a cheerleader in college. So I know a little something about cheerleading. But what's interesting is that even though she hung up her pom-poms a few years ago, I mean, it's been 2 or 3 years since she led a cheer around the house. Even though she hung up those pom-poms a few years ago, she has still been our family's primary cheerleader. And anything pure and noble and wise and good, she's been the loudest and the strongest and the most influential voice there. I have a chance these days to spend a little time at Little League parks. I've got one grandson plays in Lamar Little League, two grandsons who play in Missouri City Little League. And it's like Lincoln Leeser said in the video, my mom, she's at the game, she's cheering loud and strong. And you go to those Little League games, oh yeah, I mean, Dad, he's got his 2 cents worth in there. But moms, that mother voice, it is strong, and she is cheering that little player on. I don't know that we do it enough to reverse that and cheer our moms. Moms are cheerleaders, and today I simply want to say to every mom here, what you do is so massively important. Don't doubt yourself. Don't let anybody question your assignment. What you do is massively important, hugely influential. It's hard work, it's big work, and we applaud you. So I want to take full advantage of the opportunity to give honor to whom honor is due. That's a biblical principle. Now, when the Bible talks about motherhood, the Bible doesn't do so from a syrupy perspective. It's not saccharine, it's not maudlin, it's not overly sentimental. Parenting is a high-stakes assignment. And so when the Bible talks about mothering, it does so from a very sobering perspective. It says, this is a noble assignment, and it's challenging work. Did you see the recent article about JetBlue Airlines? Because of some recent incidences where you had some people who would get upset on a flight because of a crying baby. And I know it can be a little tough to be in a flight and there's a child upset near you. And hey, listen, but that's life. And children are wonderful. I was on a flight coming back actually from Saudi Arabia a few years ago, flying through Amsterdam. I board my flight in Amsterdam. There's this wonderful family. They're seated right in front of me. They've got 3 or 4 children, and their youngest was not happy at all. Not at all. And they look at me, and they're so apologetic. I said, listen, I'm a dad. No problem. And look on the bright side. This is only a 12-hour flight. 12 more hours, this will all be done. All right? We're good. Well, because of some recent upsets on airliners, JetBlue said, listen, the work of a mom, it's hard work. And children are special and precious, and we need to applaud them, not hassle them. And so on one of their flights, a cross-country flight, one of the flight attendants gets up and says, everybody, listen, on this flight, we want you to know that every time a baby cries, you get 25% off your next flight. So one baby cries, you get 25% off. two babies cry, you got 50% off. If four babies cry on this flight, your next flight is free. That first baby starts crying, people are cheering and applauding. This is awesome, yeah. That second baby starts crying, oh yeah, they're high-fiving. This is wonderful. That third baby's crying, even more exuberant. And after that third baby started crying, somebody says, not too hard, but why don't you pinch that little kid right there? And sure enough, a fourth baby broke out and people were celebrating. JetBlue says, what we all should do. Moms need a hand. What they do is hugely important, and children are precious. I love Garrison Keillor's Mother's Day column a few years ago entitled, Nobody Loves You Like Your Mom. He says, and I quote, your father has a hard time remembering your birthday or even your Christian name. But your mother, she knows you by scent thanks to years of doing your laundry. She knows when you're in trouble, and you will get into trouble someday. Count on it. Somebody's going to file a lawsuit against you, subpoena your email, and it will all come out. Your dark secrets, your nefarious dealings, and your friends, they will cross the street to avoid you. Your brothers and sisters will fade into the woodwork, but your mother, she will still love you. And like an old lioness, she'll come running even if you're 2,000 miles away. I've got two scriptures I want to highlight today. Both you might think are fairly odd for a Mother's Day message. Here's the first one. Out of the Gospel of Luke. As they were walking along, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. That's a neat statement right there. This man's been impressed with Jesus. He's watched him. He's watched and he's seen his miracles. He's listened to his teachings. And he says, I'm impressed and I'm ready to become a sold out disciple. But Jesus sort of de-glamorizes that. And he said something intriguing. He says, foxes have dens, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus says, if you follow me, get ready for some uncertainty. Are you ready to embrace that? Where will I be sleeping tonight? I don't know. Where am I going to be sleeping tomorrow night? I don't know. Here's what I want to say to every mom, every parent here today. When you sign up for parenthood, when you sign up for marriage, the only thing that's certain is uncertainty. Now, we'd love to have an itinerary. Oh, this is what the child's going to be like at five. This is what everything. This is the way your family's going to look at 10 years from now. This is the way your family's going to look 15 years from now. You have signed on for some uncertainty. But listen, it's uncertain maybe at the edges, but not at the core. Because here's what you can know for sure. The same principles of right and wrong, the Ten Commandments, the moral foundation of our very culture for hundreds of years, you can teach the same Ten Commandments to your children that people have been teaching since the days of Moses. And the same gospel story of Christ's love and lordship and grace and purpose that was taught on the day of Pentecost, you can still pass along that great message to your children. You don't have an itinerary. Things are uncertain, but this you can know as well. The Lord will be with you. And he says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. And whatever gets crazy and uncertain out there, you can know that I'm with you always. Now, here's another scripture. I was reading an article on parenting a few weeks ago, and it alluded to this, and I thought, an intriguing application, but it's so true. It's from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Maybe you remember the Nehemiah story. He had a rather cushy job working for a king. Now, Nehemiah is from Jerusalem, but he's not now living in Jerusalem. But his heart is for Jerusalem. The walls of the city of Jerusalem have been destroyed. And in that day, no walls, no secure city. The stability and sustainability of a city without walls is in question. So Nehemiah asked his employer, "Can I go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem?" His employer says, "Yes, and I'll even help you." Nehemiah goes back and starts construction. And he starts with great energy and passion and enthusiasm. But during that process, people keep trying to get him sidetracked. They criticize him. They question him. They tried to just get him to show up for meetings that aren't necessary. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, here's the story. "Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshub the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates." You see, he's almost done. Almost done. "Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, 'Come and let us meet together in H-Town in the plain of Ono.' But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?' And they sent me that message four times, and four times I sent them the very same answer. 'I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down.'" I want you to say that with me. You ready, everybody? Here we go. "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down." One more time, moms, I want you to lead the way. And here's a word I want you to emphasize this time. I want you to really underscore the word "great." You ready? Here we go. "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down." Mom, that's you. What you do, it's hard. It's massively important. We cannot uphold and applaud your assignment and your work with too much enthusiasm. All kinds of voices may conspire to weaken your perception of what you do. Sometimes you're going to get overloaded with information. And so much so that you want to say, "Oh my goodness, things are so confusing." Just sort of whatever. I was reading an article a couple weeks ago, even talking with my daughter-in-law a little bit about this yesterday. But you know, one mom was writing in an article, and she said, "I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, 'Make sure you put some sunscreen on your kid before he goes out.' And said, 'Oh no, I can't use sunscreen. Didn't you read that latest article that says sunscreen has toxins in it? You can't be using sunscreen.' And then she said, 'Well, I used to serve my children apple juice, but then I saw on Dr. Oz that apple juice has small doses of arsenic, so I can't do that. I mean, I grew up on apple juice, and my older kids had apple juice. What have I done to them? I need to just give them milk.' 'Oh, not milk, because it's got all these hormones in there. Maybe, you know, goat's milk.' But I tell you what you need to do. Always Google it. If you Google it, you'll find out just the..." No. "Here, what I need to do, I need to read books written by Dr. James Dobson." "Oh, somebody, oh, have you not Googled that? You don't want it. Oh, no, you need to..." Listen carefully. Moms, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You are invited by God to pray to Him and ask for wisdom. And you're not in this alone. You have a number of wise people around you who can help. It's called the church. You'll be just fine. And don't get on Pinterest and start comparing yourself day after day. You are God's good gift to your family. This is not Mom Fest. We're not in a big, you know. You are what your children need. You are God's gift to your children. Yeah, it's hard work. It's massively important. And we applaud you. We do. Thank you for what you do. Take care of yourself. Keep giving your children love and limits. Both are important. And moms are really, really good at nurturing, but, you know, your children need some limits, too. I saw a photo recently that illustrated the difference maybe sometimes between the way a mom sees something and the way a dad sees something. As dad sees it, as the child sees it, as mom sees it. Yeah? Right? All right. I've always believed in the P's of parenting. Praise your child. Pray for your child. Pardon your child. Show grace. And sometimes you push your child. This is the way we want to go. Because, Mom, you're a picture of grace. And what's grace? It's unmerited favor. It's God saying to me, Ronnie, I am for you. I am for you, and I'm not going to let you go. And it's a mom saying to her children, I am for you. And what that means is sometimes I'm going to praise you. Sometimes I might push you. I will always pardon you. I'll be praying for you. Sometimes I'm going to wipe your tears from the playground. And sometimes I might push you back out there because you need to get right back on that swing, on that merry-go-round again. So today, let's do what the Bible tells us to do, which is we're going to honor Mom. She deserves it. It might sound relational. It's one of the most character-building things that you can do. When you're younger, honor her with obedience, even through the difficult teenage years. When you become an adult, honor her in your independence by always showing respect. Honor her as she grows older by making certain that her needs are taken care of when maybe she cannot provide for herself. There is something so appealing in a mother's love that God Himself illustrates His love for us with these words. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you.